So I told our technical producer, Ryan Mond, that we'll use crappy techno music today on the show. You know what? I like this song, Mond.
It's a piece of garbage.
No, it's not. It's fantastic. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. This is a very, very important day on the calendar. It's National Bartender Day.
I don't know where I felt like I could get a little drink around here, do you, bud?
What do you think we're getting over? I'm just around here, okay, bud?
Mr. Clay, I don't understand anything you're saying.
I actually understood him. Yes, it's the one day a year we pay homage to the men and women who serve us up our little drinky poos, listen to us when we tell the same old stories, and bail us out of jail when need be. No? Just me?
Moving on.
All right. Coming up on the show... Gotta wait for the drop here. Get ready for it. Raptors had a plan to contain James Harden. It worked, sort of. The Cowboys lose again, and everyone is questioning Jason Garrett's job again, and Jerry Jones holds a post-game scrum again. Odell Beckham Jr. isn't happy again. The Habs started a rookie goaltender against the Avalanche. How'd that go? The Bruins lose on a controversial OT winner. Tiger makes a move. The Yankees are about to spend... The Rock gets set for their season opener, and there's lots of wiggles room in the Wolfpack schedule. All right, that song's starting to scare me, Mon. Let's jump in. You see, there's Rocket Man. Rocket Man, burning out his shoes all day long. And then there's the Rockets Man, and he would be James Harden, who came into last night's game against the Raptors averaging 55 points over his past two games, a league-leading 39.5 for the season. So needless to say, the Raptors should have been paying very close attention to the beard, and they did, with what Nick Nurse called an experimental defense. Basically, converge down on Harden, make him pass the ball off, something he's loath to do, and let the other Rockets beat you. Did it work? Well, let's find out together, shall we? First quarter, the Rockets jump out to a healthy lead, courtesy somebody not named James Harden.
Harden to Cephalosha. Cross court right to left to Tucker. Extra pass to House. Contested. Three buries it. Man. Daniel House Jr. with 14 points in 5 minutes.
Taking it to the house. Sorry about that. Anywho, second quarter, some more Rockets were chipping in.
Westbrook to Capella. Out to Tucker on the perimeter, to Rivers. Westbrook comes back to get it in the near corner. Now steps inside the arc, elevates over top of Ibaka, misses. It ends up to Tucker for three from the far wing, and he buries it. Houston now by 12. It's their largest lead.
Now the Raptors would make a run to get back in it before recess.
Lowry on the far sideline, inbounding to Freddie in the far corner. Now along the baseline, the floater goes with 1.5 to go in the half. House got behind the D. OG came back and picked it off, and the Raptors go into half with a little momentum. Still trailing by 8, but back-to-back buckets and a 13-5 run to close the half for Toronto.
Well, they've cut the 16-point lead in half to 8.
Now, second half, the Raptors were discovering that you don't stop James Harden. You can only hope to contain him.
Siakam stripped. Barking at the ref, wanted a call again, didn't get it. Harden pulls up and nails the triple. Pascal is fuming.
Well, Harden reached in and Pascal obviously fouled him.
74-62.
On to the fourth quarter now. Raptors falling victim to that house advantage.
House three ball, no good. Rebound though to Rivers. Out on the perimeter to McLemore for three. Nails it. 8 triples for Ben McLemore.
Long shot, long rebound. Norm Powell was caught retreating to the basket. Ball went over his head right to Austin Rivers.
McLemore?
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket.
Such a good song. Rockets win it. And the Raptors a second straight home loss after beginning the season 9-0. Ben McLemore with a game-high 28. Russell Westbrook, a triple-double, 19, 13, and 11. On the bright side, though, the Raptors did hold James Harden to just 23 points. You know, that's, what, 16 under his season average. So I guess the defensive experiment was kind of a success.
Like I said, it was a pretty interesting experiment. I'm going to have to look at the film to see what I think we could do a little better. And I don't know if it was if they turned out, the result turned out the other way around, we'd probably be saying it was a great experiment. And you got to look at it a little more closely to see. But it was interesting. You know, I've never run that scheme before.
Pascal Siakam led the Raptors with 24 points, but only six of those came in the second half. Raptors were just 12 of 39 from behind the arc for 30%. Kyle Lowry, who was 3 for 5 from three-point land, was philosophical.
We got to make shots, and, you know, I think just be a little bit more aggressive and just figure it out. I mean, you're not going to win every single game. You're not going to win every single game, and you can continue to just grow and get better and take every game and learn from it, wins and losses.
So Raptors lose 119-109. Raptors hit the road now for a couple of games starting Sunday in Philadelphia. The NFL's Thursday Nighter featured a couple of 6-6 teams who both made the playoffs last season and who both desperately needed a win to have any chance of getting in the postseason dance this year. The Chicago Bears at home to the Dallas Cowboys. And stop me if you've heard this one before. Cowboys coach Jason Garrett's job was on the line. Isn't it on the line every week? Hey, it started out great.
17th play of the drive. Elliott, touchdown. And the Cowboys, who won the toss, took the ball, wanted to make a statement, and a statement they just made.
7-0 boys, second quarter. The Bears tied up.
Bears. At 10 of the play clock, our second and goal, the 5-yard line of the Cowboys. Wims motions from left to right. Trubisky in the gun, backs things up, making checks. 4 on the play clock, down 7, takes the snap. Got a rifle, the middle of the end zone. The pass is caught for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears! And the catch made by Allen Robinson. An extra point away from tying it up with 12:13 to go in the first half.
An Eddie Pinheiro field goal would make it 10-7 Bears, and then with just 10 seconds to go in the first half, they would get more.
Third and goal at the 8-yard line, back to the left of Mitchell Trubisky. Right side, 3 receivers, 1 to the left, takes the snap, has time, looking to the end zone, pass thrown, over the middle, caught! They're fighting for the ball, no reaction yet, either an interception, and it looks like the Cowboys intercepted it, or they're up with a football, Tom.
They've called a Bears touchdown already. The tie catch goes.
The ball was simultaneously caught by the offense and defense, therefore by rule, it's a touchdown.
Touchdown, Bears! And it's Allen Robinson with the touchdown and a 16-7 Bears lead.
Yeah, tie goes to the runner. Everybody knows that. Trubisky having himself a day through the air. Hey, Mitch, can you run the ball too?
Snap out of the gun. Trubisky and the keeper left at the 15. Inside cut of the 10. 5. End zone. Touchdown, Bears.
Trubisky with a 23-yard scamper to make it 31-14. 31-24 the final. Trubisky with 3 touchdowns and 244 yards passing. Another 63 yards on the ground. The Bears move to 7-6 to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. The Cowboys are still alive because they play in the suckiest division that ever sucked, the NFC East. But that doesn't mean owner Jerry Jones is happy about it. I mean, the guy just wants to win football games.
We won't be going anywhere until we can win a football game. They played us well enough tonight to deserve to win the football game. We did all of the things that you can do that cause you to lose football games in the game. That's where it is. Until we can get over here and we'll line up against the Rams, until we can win a football game, I don't care what kind of contention we're in, we've got to start playing and winning a football game so that we can be able to play better than we play tonight.
You see, you just got to win the football games, and that'll get you into the postseason, where if you win some more football games, you get to the biggest football game of the year, which is the Super Bowl, which is also a football game. Everybody clear? Cowboys started the season 3-0. Since then, America's team has gone 3-7. You know, there are a few things in life you can count on, but here are three. You will lose at least one sock for every 3 loads of laundry you do. You will get in the wrong line at the grocery store. You know, the one where you're behind the sweet little old lady who wants to pay in nickels, but first she has to dig them out of her purse. And the third thing that you can definitely count on, a high-priced NFL receiver will pout if he feels he's not getting the ball enough, like Odell Beckham Jr. of the Cleveland Browns.
I feel like I've been here before asking questions about the next team while I'm on the team already, and that's just kind of something that I'm just tuned out for right now. And you catch me in the offseason, and we'll see what happens. I don't know God's plans. You know, I just follow his lead.
God's plan. God's plan.
A lot of music in the show today. By the way, Beckham, who just got to Cleveland this season, makes $16.7 million this year. He's under contract through the 2023 season. He has just two touchdown catches through the Browns' first 12 games.
Time for Russick's Best Bet.
Let's talk about a couple of juicy matchups for your Week 14 on Sunday. The 10-2 Ravens travel to face the 9-3 Bills. Baltimore open as 6-point favorites with a total of 43. Something's got to give here. The Ravens are 5-1 against the spread in their last six games overall, while Buffalo is 4-0-1 against the spread in their last five games overall. Elsewhere, the 10-2 Patriots host the 8-4 Chiefs. New England open as 3.5-point favorites with a total of 49.5. This should be tight. Kansas City is 1-4 against the spread in their last five games following a straight-up win, while the Patriots are 1-4 against the spread versus a team with a winning record.
All right, let's hit the ice, shall we? And in Montreal last night, a Habs forward was literally hitting the ice just 90 seconds in.
Kicked into the corner. It's Kokaniemi trying to steer it off and lays down deep. It's down to the ice. Is Kokaniemi, and we have an injured Montreal Canadiens player.
Yeah, Kokaniemi landing awkwardly on his shoulder and his head. He would leave the game and not return. Now, Montreal started rookie goaltender Caden Primo in net against the Colorado Avalanche last night. Caden is the son of Keith Primo. He was pretty good, too. He made 32 stops, but the Avs are stacked offensively, even more so now that their captain was back in the lineup.
Rantanen lays a hit on Domi. He's angry. Here comes Landeskog into the Montreal end. Landeskog down deep, shoots, and scores! Welcome back to the lineup, Captain! The Avs have a 2-0 lead as Landeskog goes backhand off forehand and rifles it off of Primo and in.
Now it's 3-2 Colorado with a clock running down in the third period. A wild finish.
Avs want to tie it up. There's Nieto, but it's funneled through him for Weber. Turns, looks, and shoots! That's knocked off a body down deep with 3 to go. Up top, Weber will try one more time. Save! Rebound, save! Rebound! That's it! Pavel Francouz stands tall in his crease to preserve a 3-2 Avalanche win. Amazing.
Yeah, it was. Great finish there. Canadiens have lost 9 of their past 10 games. Post-game, Coach Claude Julien was still fuming about that hit Nikita Zadorov threw on Kotkaniemi.
I don't like it, and I don't like it because one of his foot came up and went behind his leg, and not the typical slew foot where you slide it right underneath, but your leg went up, and he used his upper body to flip him, and to me, that's a dirty hit. And I don't know how the league's going to see it. That's up to them to look at it.
Now, it seems that some players just have that one team that they do really well against. For the Jets, Patrick Laine, it's the Dallas Stars. In his first 16 career games against Dallas, Laine's 18 goals and 24 points, and that includes a goal and an assist in Tuesday's 5-1 win over the Stars. That prompted him to say this.
I wish we would play 82 against those guys. We'd have a lot of goals. Thank God they're in our division, so I'm laughing.
May want to rethink that. No goals for Laine last night in the rematch in Dallas, although he did have an assist, tied 2-2 in overtime.
Well, the ice is tough in overtime. It hasn't been clean for a while.
Pavelski across to Sagan. From the dot, a shot off the glove of Hellebuck in front, score!
Yeah, 3-2 Dallas, the final. In Calgary, the Flames fans have been waiting a long, long time for what finally happened last night.
Skips it across to Anderson, and he moves it ahead to Dubé, who drops Lucic, in front, shoots, and scores! And the sea of red erupts. Finally, Milan Lucic gets his first goal as a Flame. They chant Luch. Four unanswered.
is 4-1 Calgary.
4-3 Flames the final over Buffalo. How's this for a stat? Boston teams have yet to lose in regulation at home this season. The Pats are 5-0. The Celtics are 8-0. And heading into last night's game against the Blackhawks, the Bruins were 12-0-4 at TD Garden. This one went to overtime.
He sidesteps a check. Oh, and then he's tripped by Jonathan Toews. No penalty call. Hawks escape the penalty call. Toews has a breakaway in overtime. Over the line, down the slot. He shoots. He scores! Jonathan Toews wins the game for the Hawks in overtime. An overtime game-winning goal through the legs of Tuukka Rask, and the Blackhawks win in Boston.
4-3 Chicago, the final. Boston teams still undefeated in regulation at home. In Tampa Bay, the Wild stretch their point streak to 11.
Alex Killorn ties it here for Tampa. It's 4-4. Here comes Minnesota. Entry. They score! Is it Zuccarello down the right wing side? This is the third time tonight this has happened.
Well, they give up a goal, but they score a goal.
Yeah, that goal coming just 8 seconds after Tampa tied at 4-4. 5-4 Minnesota the final. Things got a little spicy in Carolina where the Sharks' Joe Thornton taught Canes goaltender Peter Mrazek a valuable lesson.
I'm all the Sharks change on the fly. Bird shot to Flex, and Mrazek fought it off. And then he takes a swing at Joe Thornton, and Thornton punches Mrazek, and down goes Mrazek.
Mrazek's got to know that when you come in and you start hacking Joel Thornton and you punch at him, you're going to get punched back.
He'd be okay. In fact, it was Mrazek who would have the last laugh in the shootout.
Logan Couture on Peter Mrazek, who's been battling all night. The Sharks captain, the final hope. That's all! Hey, hey, what do you say? Carolina wins in shootout.
3-2, Canes the final, and afterwards the team did a little conga line to celebrate. Elsewhere last night, Islanders won their seventh straight at Nassau Coliseum with a 3-2 overtime win over the Golden Knights. The Coyotes beat Philadelphia 3-1. The Coyotes lead the Pacific for the first time since October of 2015, and Artemi Panarin scored for the Rangers in his return to Columbus. 3-2 New York the final. Coming up, hey, there's the trashy. Ugh. Gross. Hey, we'll check out a couple more basketball games. I'll tell you how Tiger did in the second round of the Hero World Challenge. The Rock get ready to roll, and the Wiggles sing the Wolfpack schedule. Let's head back to the hardwood. In case you missed it earlier, the Raptors lose to Houston 119-109. Raps in Philadelphia on Sunday. Last night, the Sixers were in Washington. They should have beaten the Wizards. They did not.
Bradley cuts his left corner. Bertans catch and shoot for three. No. One off the side of the backboard. Comes out the Beal left wing for three. It's there! Bertans missed. Beal didn't. Wizards back up by 10, 78-68. That's Bradley Beal's first three.
Beal with 26 points. The Wiz wins 119-113. Couple of young Canadian stars hooking up in New York. Jamal Murray of the Nuggets versus R.J. Barrett of the Knicks, but those two had very little to do with the final score.
Cross court for Grant. Left wing three. Good, and he's knocked down and fouled. Wraparound pass Jokic out of a double. Millsap open corner three, and it's good. Jokic left of the lane, skips it out. Harris, right corner three. Good for Gary Harris. 6:36 to go in the third, and Denver leading at the Garden, 82-55.
Murray had 14 for Denver, and the Nuggets 129-92 win. Barrett chipped in with 9 points in the loss. The Knicks fall to 4-18. Here's a story about the New York Yankees. Yeah, this music seems appropriate. Apparently, the Yankees have made free agent pitcher Gerrit Cole their number one offseason priority. And what's more troubling for everybody else in the AL East is that ownership has given the go-ahead to spend whatever it takes to get him. Most expect the deal to easily smash the current record for a pitcher's deal, which is David Price's six-year, $217 million contract. Some say Cole's deal could surpass $250 million. Ouch. Tiger Woods had a pretty good second round of the Hero World Challenge in NASA. Yeah, close enough. That's right. Tiger fired a bogey-free 66 to shoot up the leaderboard into a tie for fifth.
I didn't really do anything poorly today. You know, I drove it well.
I did miss some greens early, but I missed them all in the correct spots. But other than that, I left myself with easy uphill chips and shots that I felt like I could be aggressive and try and make. And didn't make any today, but at least I had those opportunities.
Tiger is minus six, six shots back of leader Patrick Reed. Hey, big weekend for lacrosse fans. The Toronto Rock open up their season at home tomorrow night against the New England Black Wolves. Rock coach Matt Sawyer has high hopes for the Rock, who are coming off a 12-6 season where they went 8-1 on home floor.
Each and every night you go out there and compete, you want to win that game. So your first goal is to get on a roll, start the season quickly. You're always going to deal with a little bit of adversity. So we want to make sure that we take care of our games, especially in the division, and finish as high as you can in the standings. So our goal is to make the playoffs and be a team that competes for championships.
Fans will be able to watch the Rock's 9 regular season home games on Rogers Ignite TV, channel 430, or digital TV, channel 368. Coming up on the station today, lead off with Ashley Ziggy and Scotty Mack, as Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman, as well as Fox Sports NFL analyst Charles Davis. On Good Show, former NHLer Matthew Barnaby stops by, and on Writer's Block in studio, former Blue Jays pitcher Ricky Romero.
Time for The Extra Point.
So I just told you about the Toronto Rock's home opener tomorrow night. The Toronto Wolfpack begin play in rugby's Super League next spring. I could tell you about their schedule, but why not let the Wiggles do it? Yeah, you heard me. The Wiggles.
We're so happy to announce the team's 2020 home theme game as scheduled.
Yeah, that's right, everyone. April 18th, versing Hull FC. That's the home opener.
April 25th, versing Wigan Warriors, is Family Day.
May 2nd, versing St. Helens Saints, is 80s Day.
June 13th, versing Castleford Tigers, is Renaissance Day.
Well, then on June 20th, versing Hull KR, hey, that's Beach Day.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Hey, thanks to producer Hayden Matthewson and technical producer Ryan Mon. Thanks for covering up all my mistakes. Whatever they're paying you, it's just exactly enough. Thanks for listening to The Scoreboard with Hugh Burrell. If you missed any part or you want to listen on your way into work, just download us anywhere you find your favorite podcasts. Lead off with Ashley, Ziggy, and Scotty Mack is next.